Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Sign Guy QT and Randy Zeller is with you here on another Sunday. And since most shows are canceled today, we'll skip the show notes and we will go right to our guest. We have with us today Mr. 24K, Trey Havoc. Trey, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Since it is your first time with us, we are going to start you out with our traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, it all started at the age of 4 years old. I was clicking channels, trying to find something to watch, and I saw this really large man in a black coat and a black hat walking down. And something about it just caught my eye, and I just kept watching, and it was actually an Undertaker match. And just watching it, I was like, I want to do that. Like, how he captured the crowd, how, like, everyone just was in awe of this man just made me want to be in that position.
Now, in the Undertaker's case, he's been a part-time performer for the last few years. He only wrestles a few sporadic dates each year. Did you go back and watch a lot of footage of The Undertaker, or did you gravitate towards other wrestlers since The Undertaker wasn't too active?
Yes, it was The Undertaker. It was The Rock, definitely. John Cena. These larger-than-life people who just I found myself really entertained by and really just enamored by. Kurt Angle, just a whole list of them.
Now, in your case, you are based in North Carolina, and you've been branching out a little bit. North Carolina happens to be home of Dowd's Pro Wrestling, where I have competed before. Dowd's a little bit different than your standard independent promotions. They, of course, feature heavily on gimmicks. Have you studied or watched a lot of Gouge in your time so far?
I am friends with a few performers that have worked in Gouge, and I was hoping, actually, to go down to Gouge in April with Blackest Jack. I was going to carpool with him and go down, but I'm hoping that opportunity's still there, barring any controversies with this virus.
Hopefully that works out for you. It's a great place with a lot of great people there. Now, one of the things that is popular within pro wrestling right now is the cruiserweights. WWE has a show specifically for the cruiserweights called 205 Live. And in today's wrestling environment, where so many guys are smaller than they were 20 years ago, 30 years ago, cruiserweights have become more popular. Do you find yourself wrestling a lot of different cruiserweight type athletes?
I've wrestled the spectrum. I've wrestled guys bigger than me. I've wrestled guys 130, 140 pounds. And, yes, the landscape has definitely changed from, you know, 20 years ago when you have, like, guys like The Big Show and The Undertaker, 6'2", 6'3", guys, 280, 290 pounds on the regular. Now you're seeing a bunch of 5'9", 5'10", 170, 180-pound guys. And that does open up a lot of avenues for people like me because I'm only 5'9", but I mean, I'm a bigger guy. So, like, as far as height goes and size goes, it does make it – that is a lot more prevalent nowadays.
On each end of the scale, what would you say has been the biggest size difference between you and an opponent?
Size difference. I wrestled a guy about 6'4", 6'5", and like I said, I'm 5'10", so that's probably been the biggest size difference, someone larger than me.
What would you say going the other way? What would be the smallest guy that you've competed against?
A guy named Ollie Primo. He was 5'6" and about 115 pounds. So that's definitely the smallest person I've ever wrestled.
That is fairly small for a wrestler.
Yes.
We're going into a part of the year here fairly soon where we're going to be seeing, hopefully, a lot of outdoor shows popping up, especially in the part of the country where you're at. It's easier to run outdoor shows a little bit longer during the year because of the weather. Do you enjoy wrestling on outdoor shows?
Like you said, it just depends on the weather. Most of the time, I do like working outdoor shows because you are not in a confined environment. You have more room to roam according to what your match calls for. And when you're in some of those false count anywhere matches or matches when there aren't really any restrictions, yeah, I like doing outdoor shows because I can go out and just do whatever. Like, the options are a lot more open.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host Randy Zellers is with us, and I bet Randy has a few questions. So, Randy, go ahead and take it away.
All righty. Hey, what's up, Trey? How you doing, my man?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Oh, pretty good. Hey, pretty good, man. Thanks for asking. I see that you're representing North Kakalaki. That's also, hey, that's also what's up. For college-wise, what fan are you? Are you like are you a Tar Heels fan or any of the other colleges that you root on for football games and stuff like that?
As far as college goes, it's always been wrestling. I'm not the biggest football fan. I'm not the biggest, you know, basketball fan. It's always been wrestling. So as far as collegiate wrestling goes, definitely Ohio State. They've got, you know, some of the best out there.
Yes, they do. Hey, all right. All right. How about your athletic background in the past? Like, did you have any like, martial arts background or a football or even golfing, any sport?
Well, when I was, you know, a young lad, when I was a young tyke, I did taekwondo for a number of years. Then when I got to high school, yeah. It was more so I could get out of my parents' hair, but I had fun.
Hey, that's pretty cool, man. Hey, I'm a taekwondo guy myself. I made it to first degree black in taekwondo, and I decided to take my skills to another martial arts called Shotokan Karate, which I successfully black belted in that. And after that, you know, kid came, and you know how when kids come, you know, you really ain't got that much time to do nothing. But because I was looking at your match with who was that guy? Shit. I forgot, but he pretty much just at the end of the match picked you up to like a stun gun type gimmick and he put his foot on the rope, which I was like, oh, that's shenanigans. You got robbed at that match. You was kicking some eggs.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on here. Let me look that up real quick. I know it was in here somewhere. I know it was. Oh, yeah, Jackson. Yeah, Jackson Drake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, going into that match, I mean, how did you feel about that match all together? Because what I picked up was it was pretty entertaining. I know the crowd was paying attention, not paying attention, but I know you got some really good licks in, and yeah, I'll tell you this much. I've been in the game for 10 years, and I would not want to encounter them clotheslines, I'll tell you that.
Well, actually, that match was one of my earlier matches, and that was, yeah, while I was still in training. So,
oh, wow.
I wrestled all my friends, all the people that brought me into the business, and the one guy that I hadn't wrestled was Jackson Drake. And
oh, yeah.
He was kind of the guy in the locker room that didn't really speak a lot, and everybody was, he was one of the old school guys. So,
oh, yes. Oh.
Yes.
Yep.
So I came in, they told me, hey, you're going to be working Jackson Drake today. And I was kind of like, all right. But they're like, you're going to have to bring your A-game, because if you don't, he will eat you alive. And, yeah, that was one of the most hard-hitting matches in my career since then, yes.
Well, I'll tell you this much. For bringing your A-game, you really brought it. You really brought it. And, And there was another dude. I didn't get time to watch the actual match, but I did watch the promo, and that was between you and Big Country Blake.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hey, love the delivery that you how you called him out on that stuff. I was like, whoa, on the past, what you did 3 years ago, I never seen you hold anything. I was cracking up. I was like, ooh.
And the thing, I love Blake Barnes. I love Big Country. Him and I have a huge mutual respect for each other, especially after those series of matches. And yeah, he's one of the guys that was like, yeah, you know, you've got it. You keep doing what you're gonna do, and you're gonna go somewhere.
Oh heck yeah, definitely. And for wrestling sources. Like, do you sit down and watch, like, the AEW products or WWE products or any, or ROH, any kind of wrestling products?
I watch New Japan, definitely watch AEW,
oh, yeah.
Watch some ROH. I watch WWE for the sports entertainment part because,
yeah,
yes, a lot of the, like, the ROH and the AEW, there are a lot of the combat and the hard hitting, but WWE does have the sports entertainment, the what the fans find entertaining. So I do watch it for that part, but I do watch as far as like move sets and actual technical matches. I watch AEW and ROH and New Japan.
Hey, that's what's going on. And for some couple more questions, I know this Steve Corino virus is going around, and it really did put a damper on a lot of things. Do you see this Steve Corino virus actually cooling down, or do you actually feel that you guys might have to go into a lockdown? Because I know in California, they're on lockdown in Oregon. I have a funny feeling. I mean, we're in the state of Washington. I have a funny feeling that we're next.
I'm really hoping that this calms down, but I know it's going to get worse before it gets better. And with how
I hear that.
With how people react, it's going to definitely get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, and when you went up in your local grocery stores or your Walmarts, do you notice that everyone's just going crazy over the toilet paper?
Yes, they now have a sign on the toilet paper in the aisle that says limit one per customer.
Dang, at least you guys got it right. I mean, up here, shoot, there was like, I swear, when I went to Costco, there was like there was like a lot more people there at the park at Lowe's and walked to Costco. And yeah, there was like a whole bunch of people around like four pallets of toilet paper. And when these guys was bringing it out, these guys was being looked at as celebrities. I swear to God, I was like, "Dang, is someone famous up in here or something?" It's ridiculous because I mean, out of toilet paper, even though I'm stocked up with toilet paper and Lysol and stuff like that, but it's just too nutty, man. And I feel that. I mean, do you feel that the president, our current president, is taking this seriously?
Hey, look, I'm gonna tell you it like this. If I get a check in the mail for $1,000, I have no complaints.
Nope, me neither. I ain't tripping. It seems like to
if
me that every time
mail,
a
I'll be fine.
Exactly, because I have to tell you this. Every time a Republican is in office, we always get money. But then again, we pay for it at the end of the year. That's how they get
yeah.
you.
Nah, this isn't free.
Yep, yeah. And I mean, I was hearing that in Japan, they are starting to live like kind of like normal, like people are going to wrestling shows, baseball games, and stuff like that. I'm just hoping that if we don't see a football season, I'm okay with that. But there's only a certain time limit where you can watch reruns of games.
Yes, yes. And I will tell you like this, me watching these empty arena shows,
yep.
As much as I love the wrestling, it's depressing. I know about all the fans that want to be there that can't be there. And
yeah, you know what I'm saying. I trained, I did a training match yesterday, and I'll tell you this much, it's not the same.
No, it's not.
You don't get to talk your smack. I mean, you don't get the, you just don't, it's just like training is training, but you're just in full gimmick.
Yes, and I've had to do it in training, but the difference in training and doing it in front, like you're doing this to do it in front of someone. Like you're training, you're practicing all the smack talk, all the comebacks, the hope spots, you're finding out, you're doing all this for the fans. And when you do this and you have no fans, it's like there's no payoff.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really unfortunate, but I'll tell you this much. Once this stuff cools down, I mean, the best bet for me right now, we can only pray and wash our hands, wash our bodies, and just be more careful out there. And if you got a 9-to-5, it ain't nothing wrong with putting it into some stocks, because you may never know, that may just go up and blow up like the World Train.
Honestly, all this stuff, like the washing your hands, what you should have been doing that in the beginning, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
Everyone's going crazy about it, and it's like, this is stuff that you should have been doing. So if you've
yeah.
been doing this religiously, you wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah, because I remember I was watching a comedian named Red Fox, and he had an album.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know which one I'm talking about, right? Yep. Well, I was on live feed yesterday on Facebook. I said, wash your hands, and wash your hands. Everyone started laughing, and I was like, it may be a joke, but it's true.
Yeah,
I know you've been in the game for 3 years. Have you ever worked with someone that didn't wash their gear or just their hygiene was just like, ooh, I worked with that person once. I'll never work with that person again. You don't got to say the name, but just give me a yes or no. Have you worked with someone who don't look after themselves?
I've been in a locker room with people that don't know how to, you know, wash their gear and wash themselves. And knowing from high school wrestling and being in locker rooms with people who end up catching diseases from that, like SASH and all those other things.
Yeah, scabies.
I won't work somebody that will not take care of themselves because I don't want to get what they possibly have.
Mm-mm. I hear you on that one, bro. Yeah, because I got stories mile long about people who had, I mean, just disorganized and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Do you keep your house like that, bro? But I will, man. But anyway, though, but it was great to talk with you and everything else. And I hope that we get some social media, how we can get in contact with you, because I would like to start following you.
Oh, I really appreciate it. My Instagram is 24ktrey.
24ktrey?
Yes. So is my Twitter, 24ktrey. Actually, my Twitter is Mr. 24ktrey.
Oh, okay. Mr. 24ktrey. All right. All right. If you see a big Zen on there, that's me.
I appreciate it.
Alrighty, I'll go ahead and let QT there take it away.
Okay, well, thank you, Randy. And Trey, at this point, I'd like to point out that our co-host, Randy, there is a striking resemblance to Lamont Sanford. Yes.
Yeah.
He has the same mannerism, and he worked very good with Red Fox, which I think Randy, if he could time travel, would have worked good with Red Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Trey, Randy spoke to you earlier about the coronavirus. Do you see yourself, when this dies down, maybe being in a toilet paper in a briefcase face mask?
I've seen them on Facebook. I hope I can. I will definitely take it because you can never have too much toilet paper according to all these people. So I'll take advantage.
If it isn't a toilet paper in a briefcase match, maybe it could be a toilet paper in a full match.
Yeah, or hand sanitizer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Trey, you mentioned to some guy how much The Undertaker made an impact on you. Who were some of the first lady wrestlers that made an impact on you? Maybe Stacy Keibler or maybe Lita?
Definitely Lita and Trish. The Sensational Sherry. Definitely. Those were the main ones because I grew up in a time where female wrestling was just, you know, lingerie matches and pillow fights. But the ones that really stuck out to me were the ones that were out there and they were wrestling just as good as the men, if not better. So it's really, that's why Lita and Mae Young, just because she's so funny, her stuff was just so out there. It would catch your eye. But I never actually got the chance to watch Mae Young wrestle, just her backstage things.
Yeah, at the time that you first started watching wrestling, I think YouTube was probably still getting started, maybe. Did you ever go on YouTube and look up the Women of Glow Wrestling, like the Farmer's Daughter?
I didn't. No, I didn't. I really, it wasn't. Like I said, when I grew up, women wrestling wasn't the focus. So when I grew, like I said, as I was growing up, it was the Women's Revolution came, and those were the wrestlers that I really took, you know, they took my attention because that's how I grew up. And that's you know, my generation.
Okay. Can you remember your first match that you had on the playground in grade school? Were you the heel or the baby?
I was John Cena mixed with Triple H. And it was me and my two cousins. We were in a bounce house in front of Big Lots in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was a triple threat match. That's the first match I can remember.
Wow, very good. Okay. Well, Trey, when this coronavirus or Wuhan virus dies down, are you going to personally, before every match, mop the ring with bleach and Pine Sol from your own personal mop that you will buy this week?
You know what? Now that you say that, it actually sounds like a really good idea. I might have to invest.
Okay. All right. Well, Trey, what hand injuries have you received in wrestling? This is kind of a new question we are asking on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. And without exception, a lot of fingers have been dislocated and bent. How about your hand injuries?
I had one hand injury, and it was my thumb. It was a match, but it was me and my stable Blood Money against three other wrestlers. And I moved out of the way for a spot, and it was a flying clothesline that was coming past me. And as they passed, they hit nothing but my thumb and bent my thumb all the way back. And my thumb was hurt for like 3 months. I cannot move my thumb for 3 months.
Wow. I think this past month, when I have begun asking about hand injuries for the people we interview, I think I've been inspired somehow by George Costanza, because he once became a hand model. And at the end of the episode, he burned his hand like on an iron. Yes. So George Costanza inspired me to ask these questions. Okay. Well, Trey, I saw your match on YouTube against Jackson Drake. And when Jackson Drake made his entrance, and I believe you wrestled him in 2018, this was like March, he said, "Don't worry about the music. I don't need the music because I don't got no time to waste for 1 minute to come out here and entertain jokes like you." And at this time, he was pointing to a man near ringside. My question is, can you tell us about some of the entrance music you have used?
I have used the 24 Karat Magic by Bruno Mars. I've used 24 Karats of Gold by Big Sean. I've used some like beats off of YouTube that I found. One was when I first started, I wanted in like a biker. Remember Baron Corbin's first gimmick in WWE, the biker gimmick?
Yes.
I wanted a gimmick like that. So I had some sirens, all that. Beat, and I use that. And then the last one I can remember, I used, it was a song from the movie Friend Request. It was the ending, credit song. It was Gary Go, the Privacy remix, and I used that. But those are all the songs that I've used as entrance music.
What? Okay, quite a collection. I think there was one time when I heard our co-host, Randy Zellers, come out to the song Never My Love by The Association, and I think that's the last time he ever used that. I could have been hallucinating myself.
Yeah. Good choice.
All right. Well, Trey, normally after our shows end, both Sign Guy and myself would be beelining it down to Portland, Oregon to see blue collar wrestling. And for Sign Guy, This is a trip of about 185 miles. What are some of the longer road trips you have taken?
Well, last weekend, which was my last wrestling trip before this whole outbreak and everything getting canceled, I went up to Raleigh, which was a two-hour drive, went down to Merrill's Inlet, which is from Raleigh, about a three-hour drive, then from Merrill's Inlet, went down to Anniston, Alabama, which is another 8 hours, then turned around and came right back up to Raleigh, which from then to Raleigh is 10 hours.
Wow. Hey, that's a lot of miles on the tires. Holy smokes. Okay.
Yes.
That's something. Okay. Well, Mr. Happ, you just had your first intergender match pretty recently. Can you tell us if this was against a lady wrestler named Double D Rose and this was for Venom Championship Wrestling on March 14th? Did you have a match,
sir,
with Double D Rose? Oh, okay.
Yes, sir, I did.
Well, I did happen to see this video, and what struck me is it took place in a gymnasium that had a basketball hoop that said no dunking on it. Have you ever wrestled in this gymnasium before?
No, that's the first time. I was making my debut there in Venom.
Okay. Can you yourself dunk on a standard NBA rim, which is 10 feet tall?
No, I cannot.
Okay. In your opinion, could Double D Rose dunk on an 8-foot-6-inch rim?
It's possible. But, you know, with all of her assets weighing her down, I don't know if she'll get that far off the ground. But then again, I don't know.
Yeah, you could say red beans and rice didn't miss her.
I heard that shit.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, Double D was a great, great competitor. One of the best matches of my career so far.
Yeah, he did move very well, though. Very well. Okay. Well, Mr. Havoc, are you familiar with 7-foot-7-inch Sudan-born basketball player Manute Bol, who broke into the NBA his rookie season in 1985, and in that year he averaged 5 blocks a game and 3.7 points per game? Are you familiar with Manute Bol?
Heard the name.
Oh, okay. Well, Trey, as stated, Manute Bol stood 7-foot-7-inches tall, and he had an incredible 8-foot-6-inch wingspan. He could stand flat-footed or at least on tiptoe, and he could touch a 10-foot rim. My question is, if Manute were alive today, would Venom Wrestling make an exception and let him dunk on the basketball rim if Manute Bol could time travel?
I think they have no choice but to let him dunk on the goal. If you have someone like that can touch the goal and not have to jump, you have to let him dunk.
Okay. All right. Because I'd pay big money if I heard that Manute Bol could time travel and make an appearance at Venom Wrestling and dunk on that rim that said no dunking. That'd be huge.
Exactly. That's money, brother. You can't say no to money.
Okay. Well, Trey, Manute, let me see. Is it true that Will Smith – Manute Bol's favorite actor was Will Smith, and his favorite actress was Angelina Jolie. Can you yourself tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans who your favorite actor and actress was?
My favorite actor?
Yes.
The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is my favorite actor.
Oh, okay. I was going to guess Roddy Piper in the all-time classic They Live.
Dwayne Roddy. The Rock Johnson is and always will be my favorite actor.
Oh, all right. Very good. Very good choice. Well, Trey, Abe Simpson was once quoted as saying, "You remind me of a poem I can't remember and a song that may never have existed and a place I'm not sure I've ever been to." My question is, has your memory also been slightly influenced or have an onset of dementia from all the chair shots that you have received? Although Abe Simpson probably has never received a chair shot. That's my question.
I have actually not received that many chair shots. I've probably given more chair shots than I've received.
Oh, okay. Have you ever given a chair shot where you delivered the chair shot and said, "Boy, that was a little bit stiff. I hope I haven't really pissed this person off too much."
No, that'd be okay.
No.
This isn't ballet. You'll
ballet.
Be fine.
Okay. All right. Well, Trey, we play a game called Word Association on the show. And just a couple days ago, we had the big man, Congo Kong, give his answers to our word association. Well, actually, it's not word association. It's called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. And you have a choice between two subject matters. Are you ready to play Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk? And we're going to compare your choices with Congo Kong. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Oh, okay. All right, first one, face paint or mask? Okay. Russian leg sweep or Samoan headbutt?
Headbutt.
Okay. 1969 Grand Torino or 1976 Ford Pinto station wagon?
Gran Torino.
Okay, Gran Torino, okay. Clint Eastwood or Charles Bronson?
Clint Eastwood.
Okay. Bruce Lee or Chuck Norris?
Bruce Lee.
Okay. Carlito or Kurt Angle?
Kurt Angle.
All right. Stouffer's Lean Cuisine Lasagna or Dinty Moore Beef Stew?
Lasagna.
All right. Let it be shown for the record that Congo Kong went with Dinty Moore Beef Stew. Kind of a surprise. Okay.
Yeah.
And your last one, North Carolina barbecue or Texas barbecue?
North Carolina.
Okay, you did very well, and there were no right or wrong answers. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Trey, one of the things that wrestlers have to deal with is the athletic commissions in various states. Some states have very, very stringent athletic commissions, where you have to be licensed and take physicals and so forth. Other states have no athletic commission at all. Some states have a very lax one. In your experiences so far, what have you noticed about the athletic commissions in place right now?
Well, the only one I've really had to deal with was the one in South Carolina. And I see the pro and the con as far as having an athletic commission, because one, it takes out all the people that are not trained, that just want to go in and play wrestler, It actually shows you what your commitment level is, and if you have an athletic commission in place, it, you know, like I said, it eliminates the people that just want to play this and not really want to do this. So it will eliminate a lot of injuries, but also the people that, you know, don't have access to certain things like health care or money, not really big on having money to afford getting the physicals or things like that, that can also hamper them as well if they want to wrestle in places like Virginia or South Carolina.
Just as an average guess at this point, just from what you've observed from various places, what do you think athletic commission should be doing as far as maintaining a standard for a safety? Do you think that there should be physicals across the board at certain times? Do you think there should be protocols in case of concussions? Do you think that the commission should allow individual promoters to handle things? Do you think it should be up to the individual wrestlers themselves? How do you think that safety should be handled if it should be at the athletic commission level?
I feel like if you are going to have a wrestling promotion, along with, you know, the fans having their time, safety should be number one goal. So I feel like the promoters themselves should focus 100% on the safety and the well-being of their wrestlers if they are to put on a wrestling show. If that's not your number one priority, along with the fans and the enjoyment of the fans, then I feel like you shouldn't have a wrestling show. If it, yes, the commission, the athletic commissions are great, but that should be a last resort. The promoter of the show, the person who's running the show, should be able to take care of anything that happens on their show. And also with the performers themselves being able to, you know, take care of themselves as well. Everybody should be able to do everything safely and in a manner that doesn't injure themselves or other people. And if that, you know, something happens out of that, the promoter should be able to, you know, assist with that and make sure that everything's okay.
Now, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers and wrestling promotions have as far as a promotional tool is social media. In the last decade and a half or so, social media has become very, very crucial as the lifeblood of independent wrestling especially, but just as an industry on the whole, be it major national company down to the smallest, a lot of people don't fully understand how to use the social media to their benefit. A lot of people at the national companies have lost their jobs over social media mistakes. What would you say if you had some advice on how to properly use social media for people that might be starting their professional wrestling careers?
My biggest thing about social media from a professional and a personal standpoint is what you put on there, the world can see. There's no filter for who can see what you post. So if you're, whatever you post, know that there are millions of eyes on it. So if you want, let's say, to put some of your personal business on there that you don't want everybody to know, don't put it on social media. You put on social media what you want other people to digest from your life. Like, if I go on social media and I put, you know, hey, well, this promoter is a piece of garbage, this, that, and the other, and that gets back to that promoter, then, you know, I have nobody to blame for not getting booked back to that place or other places. I have nobody to blame but myself. is all about professionalism and your self-conduct.
In the area where you wrestle, there are a large number of military installations and a lot of people that serve in the military. Have you personally wrestled on one of the military bases yet?
I have not. Not yet. I've been near a base in Jacksonville, but I haven't wrestled on base yet.
Now, out here in our neck of the woods, I know that we have a lot of wrestlers who have served in the military, some that are currently serving while also wrestling. Do you have a lot of people in your area on shows with you that are either former or current military?
Yes. Yes. A lot of them are either current military or former military. Like, I would say about 75% to 80% of them are either former military or currently enlisted.
Very high number of people.
Yes.
Even though you haven't wrestled on a base yet, have you noticed a lot of military personnel coming to shows, either people that are in uniform or maybe just people that have the hats or so forth that say that they're a veteran of whatever branch?
Yes, I see that a ton. I see the hats, or I see the haircut, and every so often I'll see the uniform, but there are a bunch that come that enjoy it.
In wrestling, we've seen a lot of people use the military as their gimmick. People like Sergeant Slaughter, people like General Adnan, people like Corporal Kirshner. Do you see very many people using the military as a gimmick now? And do you think that in the year 2020, it's a good idea to use that as a wrestling gimmick if you didn't necessarily serve?
I feel like with gimmicks, a big part of making a gimmick work is it has to be genuine and it has to be, you know, what you know. And I feel like if someone hasn't served, but they have a gimmick of a military official, it's not really believable unless they have had experience in that area. I personally am not the biggest into it because I feel like there's a lot of it. And another thing about being successful is being unique and being one of a kind. But there are people who do make it work, and that's fantastic.
Now, a lot of people would consider the current events we're seeing as a natural disaster with the virus going around and so forth. Were you a big fan of the wrestlers, the natural disasters, earthquake and typhoon?
I was a fan. I liked how they worked, definitely. I was always a fan of bigger wrestlers that can move.
One of the things that wrestlers are doing right now that is trying to put a little bit of money in their pockets when we have all this downtime and it's uncertain when we'll get to the live shows is selling merchandise. Are there pieces of merchandise out there that fans of Trey Havoc could pick up maybe online or whatever other form in order to support you while there's no live events?
Yes, sir, definitely. I have shirts that are currently in production right now, the Missing Element shirts that if they DM me, I can definitely get them out. I also have some shirts and hoodies on bootandheel.com. I have some merchandise on there. So I definitely have merch that I can definitely get out.
Well, we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time. So if there is anything at all that you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything you would like, the social media, the merchandise, the appearances, anything at all that you might have going on, the floor is all yours.
Thank you very much, and thank you, everybody, for listening. I said my name is Mr. 24 Karat Trey Havoc. I'm a wrestler for the past 3 years, and hopefully for as long as I can. On my social media, it is on Facebook, Trey Havoc, Instagram, 24K Trey, and my Twitter is Mr. 24K Trey. I will always, always be appreciative of anyone that follows me. I have merchandise, I have shirts, I have hoodies on bootandheel.com, and I have shirts in production right now. If you DM me on any of those social media sites, I can give you more information about that. As far as appearances, I don't know when I'll be appearing again because I don't know when all of this is going to go away. But as soon as I can, it will be up on any of those sites. I always list my show dates on those sites.
Well, we have enjoyed having you here today. I look forward to keeping tabs on your progress in wrestling. I think that's served by... Randy Zellers, anything
Randy
you want
to
out there right now?
Well, I can just tell you right now, I'm following you on Instagram and Twitter right now. So, so I appreciate you follow me back. We can do all that good, and hopefully when all this stuff dies down, hopefully, you know, we can try to get them up here in the Pacific Northwest.
Definitely. I will definitely come. If you have any promoters that you know that you would like for me to come and wrestle for, if you want to DM me their information or talk to them about me, I'll definitely come there. I will go to any opportunity that comes my way.
Heck yeah, because you got a good thing going for you. Just keep on what you're doing. You're gonna make some good waves in this business.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I will follow you back.
Alrighty, hey, it was cool talking to you, man.
You too. Thank you very much for your time.
Alrighty, brother. Be easy, man.
You too.
All right, fans, definitely get out there, support Mr. 24K, Trey Havoc. Follow him on the social medias right now. Get out there when shows resume and support him as he continues his career. Pick up some merchandise if you can. We will be back with you next week. Next Friday, we have two big hours for you. CC Vachetti, someone I've known a long, long time, and Howard Baum, long time CAC member and various wrestling personality, will be with us. And 1 week from today, Jeff Cannonball will be on the program. So definitely look forward to that. Also, if you have not yet, pick up Nick Iggy's Independent Wrestling Joke Book. Lots of great independent wrestlers featured in that. I think you will enjoy it. It's inexpensive. He ships it to your door. So if you've not picked up a copy yet, do so. We will talk to you next week. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.